And my question is, where do you draw the line? Because you say defer to the bio parent, but the amount of disrespect that comes, whether it's blatant or whether it's subtle, if they're insulting me, if they're disrespectful, if that kind of thing, I just don't know where to go from here.
Hey, Dot, I got some thoughts for you on that. I'll give it to you in a moment. And by the way, we'll hear the rest of her call a little bit later on in the show today. Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living. We're talking about blended families and how to be intentional in that blend. Because if you don't, an unintentional life or a good intentioned life with blended families, you're going to get run over. And the likelihood of surviving in that situation is pretty low. And so this is a great example today of some things you can do to take the principles of intentional living, which I'll talk about this half hour, and apply them to your blended family. You're welcome to weigh in with us at 888-888-1717. Press number 2 for our storyline. Let me say this to you, Dot, and I'll talk to you a bit later in the show, but listen, when you got a fire, you got to put it out. You got to grab the fire extinguisher and put it out. You don't wait for your spouse to come home to put out a fire. When I talk about let the bio parent take the lead, what I mean by that is the primary parent in a blended family ought to be setting the tone for their children. And they should be making it clear what respect is going to be like, what the consequences are in the home for a lack of respect, and be willing to step up and administer those consequences when they become necessary. If that's not being done, if you have a weak spouse in terms of not following through or not setting that kind of standard, then it does fall to your shoulders. And when it does, that, as you know, that makes it particularly difficult. But I'll tell you, in any situation, when there's a fire raging, you better get the fire extinguisher and lovingly put it out, or it'll get out of control. And as I mentioned, I'll talk to you a little bit later more about that. And maybe you have a thought on that as a blended family. How do you deal with it when the primary parent either isn't stepping in, isn't setting the tone? How do you handle it, even though you know they ought to be more engaged? 888-888-1717 is our phone number. Press number 2 for our question comment line. Love to hear your thoughts today as we talk about blended families.
I was just calling to make a comment about the blended families. I've been in a blended family now for 16 years. If they put God first and look at your blended family as a team, in a team, everybody has their own qualities that they can bring to the team to make it better. And if everyone just gets on one page, you know, you have to meet some teammates at where they are and not to expect any more or less out of each other. But use the different personalities, the different, you know, advantages and disadvantages of each member of the team, and just work to make sure that your team is successful, and just to remain encouraged and to, you know, ask God to give you strength and to handle it in a godly way.
It's good. Good. Be a team. You are a team. The problem is sometimes in a blended family, you got one or two players who just got their own agenda, you know, or they refuse to play at all, or well, they're going to sabotage the team, and that's where it gets more complicated. Okay, Rodney's first up in Kansas. Welcome, Rodney, to Intentional Living Center today.
Well, thank you so much.
Appreciate it. You're in a blended family?
Yes. I'm on what I tell other folks, the smart end of that, where our youngest is now 18.
Mm. So you're it's easier as they start to grow up and leave home, is that what you're saying?
You know, they kind of start executing that plan at birth, don't they?
Yeah, they do. So what's one thing you've learned you want to pass along to the young ones coming up behind you that maybe are going to experience some things that you experienced?
Well, I'll tell you, as I said, when I called in earlier, it's all about communication for us. Between my wife and I, we have 8 kids. And as I mentioned, we're, the last one is in the house. And it's communication to our Heavenly Father in prayer.
Mm.
It's communication from our Heavenly Father through His Word. And then it's communication to everybody that's in the household, you know, whatever that may be. We had a lot, and I mean a lot, of family meetings.
Mm,
and it didn't matter what the subject matter was. We had a dry erase board that had about 8 subject lines on it. We would set aside a room and give them a $10 budget for snacks. We would have each of the rooms host the family meetings and then change it. You know, next family meeting is going to be held in so-and-so's room. We would, there was one that we did where put together a PowerPoint presentation. And we did it in the living room. So,
now, you sound like an engineer to me. What do you do for a living, Rodney?
Yeah, well, you know, praise God, I do have the title engineer behind my name, but not by going to school. It's by learning how to do it from the shop floor.
And that's good. So you take a leadership to say, look, we're going to communicate. We're going to kind of move this around to different rooms of the kids. And
that's right.
What difference did that make? How did that all work for you?
Everybody felt like they had a voice. And also, it was an opportunity for us as parents to have a small devotion at the beginning. And, you know, it's not only through our life testimony what's important to us, but also, you know, through the family unit, you know, what's important to us. Mm. And I'll tell you, it was anything goes. We discussed issues from care of the dog, there was one family meeting where I'd taken a photograph of an empty bag of snack. I don't know if I can say the brand name, but an empty bag of Doritos. I put a Titan stamp on it, and it had sat on the table for 3 days. And the kids really got a kick out of that, you know, nobody threw this bag away for 3 days. But it's just various things like that. You know, we would discuss just about anything.
Well, and you made it fun, too. I think it's a matter of, you know, we're open, we're honest, we're all humans. Can have fun, you know, and it could have gone after it. Said, that bag has been sitting there for 3 days, and I'm sick of it, and I want somebody to start taking care of this house. Just bring a picture with a date stamp on it and lay it out. Sometimes having a little bit of fun, a little bit of humor, smart people, you know, catch on. That's great, Rodney. You've added a lot. That was good stuff. Appreciate your call. We're going to go to Josh in a moment. Everybody has the best intentions and goals for kids. I wonder what the rest of that is. We'll find out. We'll find out what he's thinking. What has he learned? We're talking about how to intentionally blend families, and evidenced by a busy phone line, it certainly touched a nerve. What's one thing you've learned? 888-888-1717.
Dr. Carlson, I'm listening to your program about blended families, and just wanted to say that we've been a blended family for 11 years. The kids were 1, 2, and 4 when we got together, and the biggest suggestion I can make to anybody who wants to blend their family is to really dive in deep to having God free you of all the past hurts, habits, and hang-ups that you might be bringing into the marriage, because that all gets in the way before you can even blend your family together. And if you can be healed of those things first, the blending goes a lot easier. I'm happy to say that our family, although we've had many difficulties, has blended nicely, and they're now all 3 teenagers, and we work through things through conversation and in love. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome, and that's so very true. As I said earlier, each member of a blended family, as I have observed and worked with blended families, each member has to get through their own hurt and loss, because there's a lot of it. You know, maybe there's been a divorce or a death, but certainly a loss, and there's been hurt. And people can't get the like and love until they get through hurt and loss, and everyone's on a different timeline, different path, and you may already be there yourself, and your kids or those that you love around you haven't gotten there yet. A lot of patience. And then discouragement. Wow, what does that mean? A negative force against courage, right? Isn't that what that's saying? Discouragement is a resistance to courage. Well, I looked up the word courage. Courage means strength in the face of pain or grief. Isn't that interesting? And so if we're going to resist discouragement, we need some new strength. We need some new courage. And the strength that we're talking about is strength in Christ, right? As followers of Christ.
Boy, maybe if you're feeling discouraged today, and many times we all do, that idea of courage is that strength that comes from God. I hope you get encouragement from it. That's a featured lesson this month for our members. It's at our website, theintentionallife.com. You know, we're a few days now into the month of June, just about 3 weeks away. And before you know, we'll be wrapping up our fiscal year at the end of June. What that means is we set a budget, just like many of you do in your own homes. We don't borrow money. We made a commitment a long time ago that what comes in will go out to help people come to Christ and see lives changed radically for eternity, and then helping people live intentionally in Christ. We started this month at about $70,000 to go to be fully funded for the whole fiscal year, wrapping up this month of June. That means every gift right now is so significant. And when you share a year-end special love gift, maybe it's an extra month, a 13th month gift, or a first-time gift for the year, be as generous as you can. But for everyone who gets involved with a gift, I want to send to you the wristband that I wear. On it, it says one thing. People ask me, what does that mean? It gives me an opportunity to share Christ and remind them about the power of doing one thing every day to glorify God and benefit our marriage or family or whatever it is. It's my gift to you when you give and share today. Just go to theintentionallife.com, click on donate, theintentionallife.com, or call during business hours, 888-888-1717, and thank you for your support.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
Thank you, Kurt. Appreciate it. We're talking blended families today. Lots of calls asking you one piece of advice, one thing you've learned. Let's go. Emily, who's listening in Missouri today. Emily, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you, Randy?
I'm doing well. Appreciate your call. What's your take or question on this topic?
Well, I'm a child of a blended marriage, and I just wanted to call in and, you know, give my little piece of advice to parents that with young kids, and particularly with parents that have lost a spouse, and that's the reason why they're remarrying.
Mm.
My father died when I was about 11, and then when I was about 16 or 17, my mom got remarried. But I have to say, it was really difficult, but the thing that got me through it the most was, and still is, seeing the way that my stepdad loves my mom.
Yeah.
And the way that he allows her to love my dad still.
Mm. That's been important to you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been really good, and it's been really important to my entire family to see that and be allowed, like, to still love my dad, still talk about my dad with my stepdad, and he's curious, and he likes to learn about him and who he was, and that's really important to us, and also to the grandchildren in the family too, because they still get to know my dad and learn about him and love him through the rest of us.
Yeah. Like I said in the teaching, Emily, that when they blend a family, you're entering in the second or third act, and the first act has already been played out. And sometimes people want to just, you know, believe it never existed. You know, there's no one, it never happened, and these people are gone. And what I hear you saying is by your dad, your stepdad, your dad saying, "Hey, I recognize." And I want to know about your biological father. That became a meaningful connection point for you with this man.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty special. Well, Emily, I appreciate you calling today and weighing in on this very important topic. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. Appreciate your call from Missouri. Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center. You know, we've been talking about the living intentionally in blended families. How does that work? And when we see the fact that 40% of all new marriages today are blended, or second marriages or third marriages, remarriages, to be intentional was something that's tough to do. Tammy's on in Arizona. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, terrific. Appreciate your call. Assume you're in a blended family.
Yeah, I have seven kids.
Seven kids.
Three mine, four his, but seven are all of ours.
That's a lot. You certainly have learned some things. What's one thing you've learned?
Not to get offended. Not to get offended easily. There's a lot of broken hearts and hurt people in these blended families. And if you get offended so easily, I mean, it just keeps the pain going. And if you give the mercy and grace and love that God gives us all, then you can get through anything. And a lot of people, you know, they see it through worldly eyes and they're like, you know, I can't believe, you know, you allow these people to talk this way or act this way. And I tell them, look, they're in a hurting place. I'm not looking at the person. God says tells us not to look at the flesh. We're not fighting against the flesh.
That's right.
And so I'm not looking at the flesh that is attacking me. I'm looking at a hurting person that needs grace and mercy. And if they walk away because they're broken and they're hurt and they don't feel like they're being loved, when they come back, they got open arms. It's not judgment. And that's the biggest thing I've seen. I've seen my kids, adult kids, come back, and they're like, you're still here? I said, of course, I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. And a lot of it is they're looking to see if you're going to leave them.
Yeah.
You know, their other parent has left them. Some of them have left. Some are still there. But in my family, they've left. They're gone. And they're looking to see if this adult is going to walk out of their life as well. And it's like, no, I'm not. You know, I love you. So
it's good for you. Well, listen, you talk about ministry. That's huge. Let me ask you, did you have any one surprise after you got married for a while that you didn't really anticipate?
No.
You were ready.
I went with eyes wide open, and the attacks that I got, I take that back. The attacks I got from the kids, I was not surprised. Hmm. The attacks I got from the in-laws was a very big surprise to me.
Oh, from your new in-laws? Or your
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
New in-laws. I mean, it was very destructive to me personally, and I literally had to just give it all to God because it made me so angry and hurt that I couldn't even handle being around anybody. I mean, even my husband, I was angry at him and just kept saying, what can I do?
Yeah.
He couldn't do anything. I mean, other than you don't go to your parents and talk bad against your spouse. That's one of the things I can say. But other than that, you got to give that to God and let Him deal with it and just love Him. And your kids, your stepkids, your in-laws, they're going to bring pain that, you know, they have inside themselves. And you just got to love them and say, you know, mercy and grace. We're all hurting.
Yeah, and that's...
And I'm sorry you're in that place, but I'm going to be here. And, you know, even if you're angry at me, I'm still going to be here. So I'll see you in another week or whenever you want to get together again.
That's good. Boy, that's powerful.
Maybe you felt like life just didn't turn out the way you hoped. In Dr. Randy's message titled, Overcoming Discouragement, you'll learn how disappointment can quietly grow into discouragement and what it means to find hope again and resist discouragement.
If we're going to resist discouragement, we need some new strength. We need some new courage. And the strength that we're talking about is strength in Christ.
Support Intentional Living with a monthly gift today, and you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message and get unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. Don't miss out on this special opportunity. Give now, and you'll get access to all of these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Blended families need to give each other room to hurt. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. When you fell in love with your new spouse, it didn't mean that your children also fell in love with the idea of a new family. They may likely be frustrated, hurting, and angry. Perhaps you're wanting to move on and they're still stuck with the hurt. So allow each person to move at their own pace, their own timetable. Don't ignore and don't force. Be patient. Give them room to hurt, but not allow disrespect. There's a difference. Disrespect is something that needs to be disciplined. Hurting is something that needs to be understood and listened to and allowed in a family. When you do these things in your family, as you try to blend and work through these issues, what's happening is you're being intentional.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
Let's go to Dot in Michigan with a question for me. Hi there, Dot. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Randy. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Okay, I understand that you're talking about blended families today, and my question is, where do you draw the line? Because you say defer to the bio parent.
Mm-hmm.
And probably 90% of the time, I can do that. I'm, you know, do make mistakes and say things I shouldn't. But the amount of disrespect that comes beyond that...
From the child.
Whereas,
from the child.
Correct. Well, it stems from the parent.
Right.
So my question is, if they're... Whether it's blatant or whether it's subtle, if they're insulting me, if they're disrespectful, if that kind of thing.
No, that can't be tolerated. One of the things that I teach in this series has been we can talk about anything, but we're going to be respectful. Respect is a key ingredient. And when I talk about deferring to the, you know, the primary parent, what I mean is that, you know, they may have a little different way of approaching discipline or have a little different policy with their children, and you want to support them. But if there's disrespect toward you, that shouldn't be tolerated. And you need to sit down with your husband and say, listen, you need to see this and understand that when the kids treat me this way, this is what's going on. This has got to be dealt with because, frankly, it's affecting how I feel about you as their dad and my husband. And so talk about deferring, we're not talking about diminishing or denying the fact that there's a problem. When there's a problem, right. We have to get it on the table and get the cards face up and deal with what we're, you know, what we see.
Okay, I agree. However, when that has been accomplished, when I have expressed my concerns, when I have saying that it's affecting my position with you, I don't know that I've worded it exactly like that, mm-hmm. but he knows.
Right.
But his response is, they'll grow out of it. You know, it's a procrastination thing, and I love this man, and I just don't know where to go from here.
Yeah, but see, at that point, Dot, is when you have to get right in his face. And so you got eyeball to eyeball and say, listen, I hear you, but you're not hearing me. I'm not talking about the kids. And I'm not talking about them growing up and changing. I'm talking about what they're doing and how it's affecting me today. This is not about your kids. This is about me. This is about our marriage. Bring it back to the relationship between the two of you in terms of, I want to support you with your kids and I want to do a good job. But when you're, and be specific, when your son or our son says so-and-so or does so-and-so, I find that to be very disrespectful. And we need to deal with that. And I think getting the cards on the table with your husband, I think what he's probably doing, like many of us as men, we're kind of blowing it off and hopefully it'll go away. And maybe in a couple of years, let's just be patient. They're just kids. That's the way it is. And he's missing your heart. That may be part of it. And so the two of you need to talk about your marriage and your relationship. The kids are only symptomatic of what's going on. I hope that's helpful, Dot. I appreciate your call because your call represents that no matter what we teach on blended families, there's always a individual difference. Every family's dealing with a slightly different picture and problem. That's why we got to deal with the principles that we're teaching. So I hope that's helpful. Thank you for your call.
I just have a comment about your intentional blending program. We have a very unique one in our family. When our daughter passed away after being married 15 years and our son-in-law was dating a young gal, he wanted her family to get together and he said to them, I want my in-laws to stay in my life. If you cannot handle this, then I will stop dating your daughter. They decided they wanted to meet us. We drove 3 hours to meet the girlfriend's parents. And our daughter-in-law to be asked my husband, who is a pastor, to have the prayer during their wedding, asking the Lord to bless their marriage. We've enjoyed this wonderful relationship for 5 years now.
You know what? I bet many of you wish you had that kind of a relationship with the in-laws in your life. That's powerful. That shows a lot of grace, a lot of love, unselfishness. That's a powerful thing. What a gift that young man gave to his in-laws. Beautiful thing. Powerful. You know, we're talking about blended families today, and it can either be a beautiful thing. I've seen blended families just work beautifully and marvelously and close and intimacy, and I've also seen others that are very painful. But I do know this. I know that it can be tougher. And there's some things that I would encourage you to think about. And I'm going to use the outline from Intentional Living. We call them our life principles, our life steps, L-I-F-E. And each of those four letters represent one of the things that you can do to build a blended family and be intentional. For the letter L, we really talk about locking in to a godly, powerful, transformational goal. And the goals for you could be whatever you see as a couple being important for the future. It could be financial goals. It could be educational goals. But I hope that one of the things you would consider as a possibility would be to have a goal for establishing some new traditions. You brought some traditions into this blended family, some of which you need to maintain, others that maybe be set aside. And those are important because that comes from the first act of the family, right? Early part of the play. But now you need to develop your own traditions, things that you can agree on. And you do that by going to the letter I, which is to intentionally do the next right one thing. Here's where I encourage you to sit down and just intentionally talk to the kids. If they're very young, of course, you'll talk about things that'll be age appropriate for a young one. If they're teenagers, or even if they're out of the home, you can sit down and talk about what are some traditions that would be important to us as this family. Things that will become sort of anchor points in the relationship. That's a powerful thing. For the letter F, which is focusing on the elimination or decluttering of things that are holding you back, there may need to be some problems that you brought into and unresolved issues into the blended family that need to go away. Maybe bitterness or unanswered questions or anger or disappointment or hurt. And hopefully you can work through those things together. And then the letter E, which is really engaging accountability and celebrating. I hope that you'll allow what we do here at Intentional Living to be part of that accountability. Listening to the program every day, taking advantage of our resources for our members, listening to the CDs, and maybe talking about some of the content as a family. That's why we do this. We do this to encourage you. Hey, we'd love your feedback on all this. What have you learned about being in a blended family? Share it with us at 888-888-1717 and press number 2. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Thanks for joining me. I'll see you next time right here from Intentional Living.